Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. For you who don't know me, and the other good-looking guy sitting there who has hair, and it's nice, but mine's easier to keep up. His name is Peter Marchetti. Well, his first name is Mayor, then Peter, then Marchetti. He's the mayor of the city of Pittsfield. Full disclosure, Peter and I have been friends for a very long time. Now, that said, Peter will also tell you, while we have been friends, we haven't always agreed. But that's what friendship's about. Peter, thank you so much for coming on this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I know this is near and dear to your heart, as it is mine. I'm really concerned. Let's get the people, please vote. Election day is tomorrow. Please get out and vote, because we just cannot exist as a society with 20% or 30% of the people voting, and then the other 70% complaining. So most of you know my motto: don't vote, don't gripe. There it is. And Peter, thank you for a great 2 years. I think you made some serious progress.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah.
I stole your quote earlier today. So I know we're recording, so it won't necessarily fit, but we just did my TV show that airs before the city council meeting and the Monday before. And so I'm like, well, as Bill Sturgeon says, I don't care who you vote for. Just please go out and vote. And, you know, I think as we have been having conversations about charter changes, I think it becomes clear if we look at the elections and we see, I mean, voter turnout is on the decline regardless.
Yeah.
But the midterm elections, if you will, where the mayor is not up for election, it's just city council and school committee, the races have seemed to not draw as much attention as when the mayor is on the top of the ticket. So, I mean, and it's important. We've got a lot of stuff coming up in next, you know, couple years, and you know, starting with the continuation of the housing work that we're doing. You know, we know that there's 112 housing units coming on board by the end of 2025 or the beginning of 2026. And then we have numbers that show we'll be up to 255 units by the end of 2027. So another 140-ish after that. And there are some other projects that are still in development design stage that aren't included in those numbers. So we could easily be hitting 500 units.
Wow.
By the end of 2027, if we can get everything to package together and line up, which I think we all know that we need, you know, and I think we need a combination of new housing and also housing that helps rehabilitate some of the older housing stock that we have into, you know, improved housing, you know, continue with our economic development plans and before the city council is $500,000 requests.
Wow.
One as leverage to a tech hub grant for the BIC to create an advanced hub technology hub in Pittsfield, and one to the first employer tenant to be in that piece. If successful with this, Marius is looking at opening shop, and we're talking 55 jobs in the next 2 years that pay $110,000 to $127,000 a piece. So we are well on our way of trying to make that work. You know, we have the conversations that still need to continue about Wacona Park and what does Wacona Park look like, and how do we ensure that Wacona Park is a multifaceted year-round facility for everybody to utilize. So there's a lot more work ahead on the city side and on the school side. We're approaching the December deadline as to whether or not we are prepared to move forward with the middle school reconfiguration for the next school year, or if we have to hit pause and implement it the school year after that. So that's, you know, that conversation is approaching. We know that we still have a superintendent search to do. We need to continue the work that we're doing on the Crosby Conti Elementary School combination rebuild. So there's a lot of work in the pipeline for the city and a lot of momentum that the next group of 11 councillors and six school committee members will be guiding us to the finish line on some of these projects. And so your vote matters because it helps set the tone to what the future holds in terms of some of these projects.
I can't stress enough, and I thank the mayor for just saying that. I cannot stress enough how important it is that people get out and vote. Now, it's nice you vote for the president and you vote for the governor and the selectmen or senators and all that, but the vote that will really, and I've said this a thousand times, and I know you're tired of hearing about it, but I have to say it. This election will influence w your taxes, your kids, your fire state, everything, much more than a vote for the governor. And that's just the way it is. We are putting together, think about this now. We have a new school committee, a bunch of people running. All wonderful people. Thank you for running. All the people who ran for are running for either re-election or election to the city council or to the school committee. Thank you. But also, good luck. But also, we have to remember only one person will be on that school committee with any institutional memory. Why we did X, why we did B. His name is Dan Elias. If he gets reelected, he may not get reelected. So all I'm saying is, if you're concerned about the city of Pittsfield, know your candidates. You can, they've been debates that I've interviewed every single candidate but one who never got back to us. But I will say this, I'm going to be in line early on. Because I want to cast my vote because this is my city and your city. And if you don't give enough about your city to give 15 minutes to go vote, then don't vote, don't gripe. And that's how important it is. I mean, news everybody's up on the city council. We don't know how those chips are going to fall. Don't make any assumptions. Because I've been around a long time and I've seen people that were shoo-ins get beaten.
Yeah, and I also think, voter turnout drives the elections. And I don't know if there's truth to it, but it's always said the lower voter turnout favors the incumbent. And that's not necessarily the case, but, I just look back and say, okay, in the mayor's race in 2023, it was like 33% of the voters voted. So, what happened to the other 67% and where were they? And did they assume they knew what the race was going to look? Did they not, were they not interested in either person that was running? What are people thinking? And I think in some of the cases, in the school committee race, nine people running for six seats, one incumbent. Two candidates have served at least one term on the school committee previously, and then six brand new folks to the political arena. I've listened to all of the debates. I haven't listened yet to some of the candidate statements. And I think that there's opportunities. The Berkshire Eagle has been covering both the candidates recently with some stories. And they did a really nice article on what is the role of the city councilor and what is the role of the school committee person. And I think that those are important pieces for us to also factor because the city council has a role, but it's not to manage the mayor. The school committee has a role, and it's not necessarily to manage the superintendent. You set policy as a school committee person, you pass the budget, but you're not in charge of the day-to-day operations. And so I think it's important for folks to understand what the roles are. I was a candidate for the first time a long time ago, and I sat there and did, well, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do this. And when you get there, you realize that unless I means you have five other people that think the same way that you do, you may be doing nothing because,
Right.
nothing passes the city council without six votes. And so I think there's some importance there. I know that I have done my best to both communicate with members of the school committee and the city council as often and as best I can. I know that some would tell you that there are issues that I didn't reach out to them fast enough or at all. But I don't think that for every issue that comes forward, you have time to call either all 11 people and say, what's your take? Or call every member of the school committee and say, what's your take? Along with the fact that that's probably violating the open meeting law. So there's a process, and I try to communicate as much information as I can. And there are times, I know that I kept promising some great economic development news. And it seemed like it took forever for that news to come forward. I was really hoping five different economic development initiatives all coming forward at the same time. It didn't work out that way. So we've done two. We're in the process of doing two more, and there's a fifth one that sits out there. And we're continuing to work many different angles with current businesses and outside businesses. And we need to continue to help those that need help from within the city and attract new business.
I have to say this. It's common sense, but sometimes none of these things happen overnight. These are whether it's building a new school, making there's a lot of in economic development, bringing people in. And I have to tell a story. I knew a group that they were transferring from one, so they sent up some people to watch, and they were looking at the old Eaton's paper mill. And what had happened was, if people probably don't remember, but there was a lot of tension between the mayor and the council, and they observed that, and they said, we're not sure we want to get caught up in, he said, she said, they did this, so they ended up not coming. The point is that I'm trying to make is what your administration has accomplished to date. With the current city council, with the current school committee, it is, in my humble opinion, magnificent, because we're now starting to climb out of the hole as far as development, the GE old GE eyesores, and all of that. And the schools, listen, we have known that middle school has been kind of a bad time for the Pittsfield school system. And but when I see some people, I watch, I don't have a life, so I watch most of the meetings. You have to go to them, I don't. And I want to talk to you about the chairs there, perhaps. Recliners would be better in the city hall, and refreshments in the back. But nothing happens so quickly, and I get frustrated when I hear people say, well, why can't you do it now? There's laws, there's codes, there's all these things. And I think you and I don't say it because you're my friend, but I say it because I live in this city. I have to tell you, I'm so pleased with what I'm see happening, the road work. Now, am I pleased every time I take a turn or doing some road work? No, but guess what? It's improvement. They're
Well,
improving
the
the
hard part
city.
is, I mean, if you look at the amount of road miles that we have,
Yeah.
road construction these days are expenses are through the roof.
Yeah.
We have, several projects happening, some with state assistance, some on our own. And I think that, in terms of communicating, A, we have a pretty short construction season. And so, what you're trying to do is really an April to November project. And as we have done some stuff in, like, I am no stranger to government, but we always talk about road work and we talk about what are we doing in 25. Well, are we talking calendar year 25? Are we talking fiscal year 25? Because we appropriate the money for the fiscal year. And so when we announce road work from July 1 through June 30th. Well, when we get to November, if the road work hasn't been done, they're like, oh man, they didn't get it done. Well, we still have April, May, and June to get it done,
That's
within
right.
the time frame that's there. And so I think that if you're on this side of the fence,
Yeah.
you're playing inside baseball, but don't take the time to kind of say, hey, let me explain this
Yeah.
and let me figure this out and let's go through those processes. And so I think it's important to communicate those things and to try. I just spoke recently at the Berkshire County Retired Teachers Association group. And we were talking just about that. And somebody said, well, you need to do more press releases on road construction so we know where and how we can get along. And I'm like, well, it's interesting that you say that because I don't know what means you use, but I can't force a media agency to
Right.
cover press releases, so they're
Right.
issued. But if you go to the City Hall, City of Pittsfield page, all those press releases are there, and you'll find out
Yeah.
that every Friday afternoon we post all the upcoming road construction and what type of construction and what you could expect. And they just kind of looked at me and said, "Oh, you do?" And so it's how do you find today's media coverage that someone is listening to? Is it the local radio station? Or when people get in the car, they're listening to Sirius XM and not even listening to local. Do people pay attention to the talk programs on WTBR or, the city meetings that are on PCTV? Do they read the Berkshire Eagle? Do they like, where's the way to get in touch with people?
Yeah.
And you struggle to kind of figure out what that is. And now is Facebook the way, or is it Instagram now, or what social media source is the one that's most popular for folks to pay attention to? And so I think that we can continue that. We continue our quarterly meetings at the senior center, our quarterly meetings with the downtown business community. And we know that we have some progress. I'm encouraged by the work that the Board of Health is doing in regards to the camping ban ordinance and looking for ways that I've been saying from the get-go, this is a public health and a public safety issue.
Yeah, it is.
And what are we doing about it? And it's easy to say build more housing. Well, housing comes at a $450,000 per unit cost. So it's not the easiest thing. If we look around the city today, we have close to $80 million worth of housing projects in development. And we're probably adding another 120, 130 million to that over the next couple of years. So it's not easy there. I think, as we begin the budget process for fiscal year 27, I ask myself, where are we going? Because I don't know if anybody else knows the direction of which we're going. Our funding relies heavily on some of the state monies, whether it be the unrestricted government aid or whether it be Chapter 70 money or it be Chapter 90 money. I don't know that the state knows because the federal government doesn't know, right? And instead of all of us trying to play the blame game, hey, folks in Washington, D.C., you all got elected to do a job. Can we do it? And one of the things that I think I try to do well is compromise. It isn't just my way or the highway. Sure, I try that to begin with, right? If you make a proposal, you want it to be the proposal that you put forward. But if you run into opposition and people have valid points, then this isn't like you get to make all the decisions. You have to, work. We talked earlier about a city council and a city council race that I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Well, even as mayor, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that is, based on whether or not six members of the city council or sometimes eight members of the city council think it's the right direction and the right thing to do. And, I think a lot of times it looks as if, oh my God, they're just all saying yes. Folks don't pay attention to all the different pieces. And one of the things that has really become apparent as mayor that I didn't really pick up on as much as a counselor is that it's at the 11th hour when a story is printed, even though you've been talking about it for 6 months, it's the 11th hour, and oh my God, why are you rushing this through? And so I think it becomes interesting to say how, when, where, why. Has something just been presented? Earlier we talked about the 2G economic development requests. That should go out to subcommittee. That should have a hearing. Both the BIC and Marius should be there and presenting what they are promising the city in return for this assistance, and then move forward. But the best time frame, I think, that that can all happen is at best a 14-day window, and that's it gets presented to council, gets referred off. They have the meeting next week. It comes back to council for the following meeting. But a lot of times, it's a month-long process between being referred off and coming back. And so we'll see. I also just submitted for the meeting last week that will be sent to ONR. Salary increases for members of the council, a stipend increase for school committee, and the stipend increase for the city clerk.
Oh,
When
cool.
you look at the other cities in Massachusetts, and we're in the process of doing a salary study for employees to see how we compare and compare apples to apples, not apples to oranges. So we're not going to compare Boston salaries to Pittsfield, but compare. The city council hasn't ever had a raise since 1994, and there's no mechanism in place. And when the charter was changed, the mayor's salary was set, and then it was a set to a COLA that was equal to the CPI index. Well, let's do the same for the school committee because we all know that if we change the salary now, it could be another 30 years before it gets changed again. Just because it's not a popular thing to do. I know there'll be pushback of, is the mayor crazy for doing this? But if you're doing your job and you're doing your job well, you're putting in many, 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 many hours a week or a month to do the job. And, for the $8,000 salary, the number of community events and functions that you need to go to, you've probably paid the city $5,000 to be a city councilor because you've used all your salary and then some to attend the events that you need to attend. And so, I'm sure there'll be some pushback, but we're talking $45,000 in the grand scheme of things for the entire city council, and then 24,000 for members of the school committee. And so sure, in an era where you're unsure, but also I think as we've worked on the salary study to see where we are, we know there are positions in surrounding communities that are paying a couple dollars an hour or more than we are. Well, why do we want to hire somebody, get them the licenses or credentials they need to do the job so they can use us as a stepping stone and go someplace else? We've got to look fairly at investing in our people and making sure that both from a employee retention piece that we're comparable to communities around us.
And it's I'm glad you're taking that view of things, because we, like you said, we pay for these people to go to the police academy or the fire academy or get their master or whatever, and then they leave because they can go to another place and make another 10 grand a year or 5 grand or whatever. But I want to just go back for a moment and reflect upon a mutual friend of ours who's passed. I would have Coach Lou Markham on the show the Tuesday of every meeting years back. And Lou would explain how the agenda, how did this come to vote? Well, it went to O&R, then it went to finance, then it, so when people would see it on television, they thought, how can they spend that kind of money with just a vote after the. But they don't realize it's been through two or three or four committees sometimes before it even comes up for a vote. So I think that was an excellent point you made, and I just wanted to reinforce it. But and the other thing too is that I have to say this, and I probably will say it after the election to the new people elected, the wonderful Jimmy McCaffrey, God rest his soul, said to me, "Boy, when I got elected to that council, it took me a year to find out where the restroom was." So never mind all the learning that takes place. And you're being a counselor, you have experienced that. The coming on board, as me saying, the Irish mother used to say, "God gave you two ears and one mouth. Think about it." So there you go. And you know, Peter. Again, going back to this election, I folks, I know I sound like a broken record, but this election to me will influence our lives much more than many of the other elections that we all run to vote for. You know, and I say that to encourage you to run. I say that I'm almost begging you not to run, but to vote. If it takes more than 15 minutes, it's a lot. This team up in the City Hall has put together a wonderful polling experience, trained the people in and out, very convenient places for the most part, with parking and handicapped access and all that. There really is not, in my opinion, there is not an excuse for not voting. I don't like any of the candidates. Well, go and vote that. Go and
Right.
vote. That if you leave a slip blank for an office, that means you didn't care for the person.
Right.
Right? I mean, at least.
Yeah, and I think that regardless of where you live in the city, there's a pretty active at-large race. There's a pretty active school committee race, and I think we heard a lot about the school committee and a variety of the issues that are out there. And so I think it's important that we show up to the polls and choose the candidates that you think best align to your values or to the common sense approach that you've heard from folks that have kind of talked things through. I think this city council has been pretty productive, and as a team with myself, but that's me. Others will pick and choose of who is good and who is bad from what's there. And at the end of the day, I am like everyone else. I get to go in and vote for the candidate in Ward 6. You get to go vote for the candidate in the ward that you live in. I get to pick my four at large, and I get to pick my school six school committee. And like you said, if you don't think out of the seven names in the at large race, there's four that you can vote for, then vote for the number of folks that you can vote for. And I think the same in the school committee race. We get caught up in it. It says vote up to four, vote up to six. It doesn't say vote for four, vote for six. It says
Yeah.
up to. It leaves you the ability. And if, I think it's important that if you're in a ward where your councillor is running unopposed, if you believe the councillor is doing the job, then vote for him. If you don't believe the councillor is doing the job, then leave it blank. And that can send a message to the candidates to say, this
Yeah.
is kind of where I'm at and where I'm going.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. I'm here with the mayor. This is a get out the vote show. The vote voting's tomorrow. Voting's tomorrow. Just get down there to your polls and like the mayor just said, if you don't like the person he's running on the polls, vote for the others and leave that one blank. That sends a message. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio station, radio dial. We are simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. Much more to talk about.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield. 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, UCPWMA.org/jobs.
We all know WTBR is great to listen to on 89.7 FM, but did you know that you can listen to WTBR just about anywhere? We've got a web stream and it's easy to use. Go to WTBRFM.com on your computer and click play. You can use the TuneIn app on your smartphone and connect it to your car's sound system. Or you can use your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play WTBRFM, and there's your community radio station. WTBR, for the love of radio.
Every Sunday night at 10 p.m., something strange happens to the airwaves of WTBR-FM. It's called The Mix. It is an experience like no other on this part of the planet. Witness a collection of fresh and classic beats that are guaranteed to make you move. The best part is, it is mixed completely live, uncut, unedited. So, for an exciting end to the weekend, tune your radio to WTBR-FM Sunday nights from 10 to midnight for The Mix.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sondrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. The good-looking guy you see there, that's Peter Marchetti. He is the mayor of the city of Pittsfield. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I'm just a radio guy, television. But I we're here to plead, and it is plead with you, the citizens of Pittsfield, all even Southern Berkshire. Now you've got all these elections, for select people and all that. So please get out and vote. It doesn't take that long. And, you know, I said this, and I actually had an old veteran call me up and say to me, thank you for saying that. And that is, when you drive through a cemetery, you see those American flags. Well, underneath that flag, there's a person who at one point in their life signed on their on the dotted line to maybe give up their life to keep the right to vote and the right to be an American. So if you don't do it for the city, you don't do it for yourself, you don't do it for us, do it for them. And I mean that sincerely, do it for them, because the greatest generation, they went to World War II. They didn't know. It could have been the end of democracy. And I know, I won't get started. And I'm tired of hearing it. This guy's making it the end of democracy. That guy's making, I'm tired of it. Democracy will survive if we do our part. And you know what the first part of ours is? Vote. I think perhaps it was President Obama, or I could be wrong. If I am, I apologize, but said elections have consequences. And they do.
They do.
They really do. Yeah.
Well, no, I think the other piece, when you're looking at an election, the number of people who are out knocking on doors, spending money, running for public office isn't cheap. Mm-hmm. And I think the going rate per lawn sign now is $4.
Wow.
For the sign and the metal bracket, or close to that, maybe it's $3. But still, if you're running a citywide race and you have to put out 500 signs,
yeah,
that's $1,500 right there.
Yeah.
Then you get into the radio ads, your print materials, all the things that you need to spend on the campaign. There's a lot of money that can be spent on a campaign, plus a lot of miles that candidates walk, knock on doors, go to events.
Yeah.
I think there's that piece too of how, the where, the why. And campaigns shouldn't just be about the flashy.
No.
Right. And I think we've all learned the whole truth to signs don't vote. And so how do you kind of, gauge, and sure, you can put up tons of signs. I think if you drive by my house, there's tons of sign. If you asked, I said yes. And voila, there's a sign. I think mostly because that whatever we can do to draw attention to the fact that an election is coming, is helpful. And, personally, I'd love a campaign where we all could commit to not using lawn signs. And, there was a better way of introducing yourself to voters, but I don't know that that exists. The cost of lawn signs, the time and energy to maintain them, in a lot of my earlier campaigns, my uncle spent 5 days a week driving around town, repairing and replacing signs. And it was always a joke among some of my opponents that, who was the stellar man behind the lawn signs, because, you can't put up a lawn sign and forget about it. This coming past weekend, while we're taping, I'm going to say it, a rainstorm with heavy winds.
Yeah.
Well, there goes the signs. They get wet. They disappear. Whatever people can do, again, like you said, it doesn't really take that much time. Polls are open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. It's a very simple process. Street name, street number, last name, first name, here's your ballot. And it's even a one step shorter. It's not a state primary, so you don't have to tell your party. You just get your ballot. Everyone gets the same ballot and off you go and vote.
And it's for our city. It's for where that's what the gets me is. It will dictate our taxes. It will dictate whether we get new schools, what kind of education our kids are getting. there's so many things, and to miss this opportunity, really, and it is an opportunity, because there's a consequence at the other end. If you don't vote and your person doesn't win, then don't vote, don't gripe. Very simple.
Well, and you know, like as you said, there's a lot at stake. You know, I listened to the debates. I listened to the questions. You know, I heard the question in a lot of the debates of, do you favor Wacona Park, the rebuild of Wacona Park? A lot of mixed answers there. But, you know, how do you align with that person? What do you think about the middle school restructuring? Several answers there. How do you align with that person? I think that in some cases, we've kind of lost touch. I vote for this person because he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Well, that isn't the reason that you should vote for them. You know, do your views match the most with candidate X or candidate Y?
Exactly.
And if you're looking to find a candidate that you're going to agree on every issue, then maybe you should just save yourself the trouble and not even explore, because I don't know that you can find someone like that. But likewise, if you find someone that you agree on nothing, I guess that helps inform your decision of how you would move forward. And so I think that we all just kind of have to look at the bigger picture, and really, you know, like I said, I think the paper had some good articles about the candidates and their views. PCTV has the candidate statements. All the ward debates are online and active for folks to be able to see. And so I think that that's kind of the advice of, you know, the debates. Each of the wards were 30 minutes. I think the at-large and school committee were close to an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of time, and you can see in some cases the person's demeanor, in some cases how they answer issues that best align with you, and you get to kind of see them in action, because in some cases the debate is somewhat like what a city council meeting would be like. You're, you know, hopefully a little bit more prepared for a city council meeting based on the issues that were in your packet. But, you know, I found a number of times that someone would say something that I wasn't even expecting and then went, whoa, I didn't think about that. And then, you know, you're either second guessing yourself or trying to get clarification to see if, you know, you had the misunderstanding or if what you're hearing is the misunderstanding. But, you know, I would love to see at least 30% voter turnout. I'm worried that we'll be talking 10 to 15% at best. And then, you know, we'll complain for 2 years about the people that are there. Let's run. Let's, you know, get to the polls. And
yeah,
there's no, you know, no guarantee that you vote for the winner. You know, no. I think that's true across the board. I've missed my share of presidential elections. I've missed my share of gubernatorial elections. I've missed my share of just voting for city councilors, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think one of the things too is, you know, as we look at the future, and I think you made some excellent points there, and that, I mean, I interviewed every single candidate. That you can get those on through PCTV. The debates, you can relook at them. There, know your candidate. I think Peter made an excellent point up front. I had an old friend when I was on Capitol Hill. He used to say, look around here, Bill. I said, what's that? He said, you don't see any ugly people, do you? So I often think of that. went this time, but God rest his soul. But know the candidate. They may, you know, I'm all upfront this. There's people I'm friends with that in the past I wouldn't vote for because I didn't care for their stance on a lot of things that I felt were important.
Well, you know, it's funny, you know, it's hard to look back and say, all right, you've almost been mayor for 2 years.
Yeah.
22 out of 24 months done. But I run into people all the time that for one reason or another didn't vote for me.
Yeah.
And I think that in a lot of cases they assumed I was going to be something different than what I was. And now they've seen in action, and as much as I get complimented for I'm not who they thought I was going to be, you know, I'm out sometimes and I hear that, geez, you're not what I thought you would be. And it's a bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, as, so I think it's important to study the candidates, and, you know,
yeah,
especially if you're a parent, your child's education is probably one of the most important things that you can be focusing on it at this point in time. And let's make it work and, you know, take the time to learn. I think there's a whole variety of ways that you can quickly get the stance on where the candidates are.
Oh, absolutely. And the other thing, thank you for bringing, most especially if you're parents, this is a crucial election for you all because you're building a new school committee basically from scratch. And we have, and I have to say this, and it has nothing to do with the election. I am super impressed with the interim superintendent of schools. I haven't had an opportunity to interview her. But what I hear from people that I respect, that she's really doing the job and she's knee deep in finding out things. And that to me is a plus. So
I would agree, you know, and, you know, I think before year ends, this school committee will need to start the process of the search.
Yeah.
For the next superintendent. You know, I don't think we can wait much longer and be able to put ourselves out there in the right time frame to look for a superintendent. But I was one who was very concerned about letting the interim become the permanent. And that was just because I didn't want an internal candidate to become the interim.
Right.
And then by chance become the permanent. And, you know, if it wasn't what someone thought it should be, then the fix was in from the get-go and there was really never the need to do a search. And so I think that that's important for us to look at. And I think that the interim is not internal. And I would be happy of allowing her the opportunity to apply as well as anyone else who is interested in the position.
I think that's good. I think what you said, too, was a little bit of civics lessons for folks. When you said the city council isn't the mayor's boss, it's a legislative body. And the mayor is in the executive, in the same kind of in the school committee. And I watched some of the open mics on both groups. And I think we need to get back to civics, teaching civics, because the mayor can't just wave a wand and all of a sudden there's 400 new housing units going up. But the other thing I tell all the candidates, too, is if you're running for public office or doing anything in the public, even a simple little radio show host, you have to develop the skin of an armadillo because 50% of the people will hate you 50% of the time, and then that'll flip over. But this show and was my goal in the mayor didn't acquiesce. You jumped on board. Please, please, please. Voting is tomorrow. Please, please get out and vote. I've said this once. I've said it 10,000 times through my career. I don't care who you vote for. I really don't. I just want you to vote. I just want you to vote. The city is facing potential for big growth with the right team. The school committee's poised to change the whole system, which nobody asked me, but I'll tell you anyhow. I agree with. We found out middle school just doesn't work. Okay. There it is.
Well, I think junior the high important guy. Piece is we have the opportunity to re-envision what our elected bodies look like.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in a lot of cases, new. So how better a time to start rebuilding relationships and, you know, starting a track to the future where, yes. You know, it's not easy.
No.
It's far from easy. There's a lot of tough choices. And really, you know, I think, you know, you've hit the nail on the head a few times, and you use taxes and the schools, but it's the smaller stuff as well.
Yeah.
It's, you know, are you getting return phone calls from your elected officials?
Yeah.
That's a piece of the puzzle in terms of, mm-hmm. You know, you getting what you're entitled to through a governmental process. And I think it's also a time to reflect that we all should be in the same boat rowing together. And I know that, like, that's code word out there and everyone's going to be like, yeah, he only cares about the rubber stamps. You know, I think it's there is never an issue when someone comes forward and says, I don't like this and here's why.
Here's why.
And all right, let me address the here's why and let me say, no, you're wrong and here's why you're wrong. Or let me say, I never thought of that. How can we kind of work? And, you know, I think that too many times I have watched our government just dig their heels in and go, no, I'm against it. And then it doesn't matter anymore because I'm just against it and we're not going to slip down that road. And so, you know, I think it's important that folks have the ability to go out and do and think of what you think is best.
Yeah. Yeah. But be willing to listen to the other side and be willing to acquiesce if they, like you just said, you know, I used to work for a boss who, his favorite said, don't bring me the problems. I know the problems. Bring me the solutions. And that's kind of the way I look at politics. When I call the ward counselor or the mayor and just say, this is my opinion. Take a look at this, you know, and I really believe in my heart of hearts that this election is probably one of the most important elections in my lifetime because of the vacancies or potential vacancies, new people, definitely on the school committee, who knows with the city council, and we as a city are facing some real important issues for our future. And I just have to ask you this before we run out of time. I you probably know this anyhow, but I wasn't in favor of the mayor being chairperson of the school committee because of the same reason that you brought up. There are legislative bodies, and now you're trying to mix them into executive. And I think that's a standalone organization, And for the audience, I haven't told Peter this at all, so this is like brand new to him. But I really applaud the people who stood up and said, no, I don't think that's the right way to go.
So I don't know that making it mandatory is the right way to go, but I don't see anything wrong with the mayor being the chairperson.
Okay.
And so, let's assume that there are six brand new people that are serving on the school committee. Who do you pick as your chairperson?
I know what you're saying.
And so, I look at it from this perspective. I think there's two things. Number one, the chair, in my opinion, would be similar to being the council president, and you don't voice your opinion often at meetings.
Right.
Where if the mayor is not the chair, the mayor, through just their role, could speak and influence. But I think one of the biggest things that the mayor does is provide the superintendent and the cabinet a figure of which to work the budget. And the mayor could, if we're funding the school budget well above net school spending, make reductions in that number. I think that we're quick to throw those kind of things out there. When it says net school spending, it's funding the schools at a minimum level.
Yeah.
And I don't think that we should be there or do that. But I think that there are many communities across the Commonwealth that the mayor is automatically, by virtue of their charter, the chairperson.
Right.
I think that the mayor should have the opportunity to be if they want to. And if they're not someone who likes to run meetings, and because to me, the chairperson is someone who runs the meeting, keeps keeps the meeting running, keeps it orderly, keeps it efficient. That's what I see the school chair as.
Okay.
Just like I see the city council president as. And so I think it depends on who the mayor is and what their skill set is as to, and I also think, and I'm looking at that possibility for next term, it would also create a lot more work.
Yeah.
The office of the mayor. But I personally think it would be a good thing in the next 2 years as an opportunity of bringing everyone together, rather than division of powers and splitting people up, but bringing folks together to work in a more collaborative manner.
Okay. Well, you see, folks, we are friends. We disagree on this, perhaps. More talk about it, but I hadn't thought of some of the things that you have brought up. And I think that's right. The one thing I hope happens this year is there's more collegiality between the council and the school committee during budget hearings. That's just my, in fact, I'll say this. I hope there's more collegiality between the city, some councilors, and department heads and people like that, that are up there doing the best they can do, given the money and the staff and everything else. So I want to thank you, Mr. Mayor, for taking the time. I know you're a busy guy, and I would like to say, and I will also thank you for your leadership over the past 2 years. I think we're on a different path now. We seem to be hitting our stride. And please, folks, one last time, vote tomorrow. Don't vote. Don't gripe. Thanks, Peter and Mr. Mayor. And I'll see you around the campus.
All right. Thank you.
Do me one favor. Lift a restraining order so I can go in the city hall and visit like people I know in there.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
You bet. Thanks, and best to you.
Thank you, too. Keep on.